Back to your phone calls. Of course, we've got college football ahead this weekend. Let's start with the Spartans tonight, Gator. Michigan State at Oregon. How much of a shot do you give the Spartans to go in and shock the world?
I don't know. I guess it would shock the world, wouldn't it? I give them a legitimate shot. When I say legitimate, look, they're 23-point underdogs in this game. But I guess I look at this and say they have a chance. It's not a big chance. It's a much bigger chance than it was against Ohio State. And for the first half of that Ohio State game, Spartan fans had some hope. They're like, wow, what's going on here? We're actually holding our own, until they weren't. And then they couldn't contain Smith, the wide receiver, and things just got out of hand, and then they turned the ball over.
He's ridiculous.
He is ridiculous. And Oregon does not have that ridiculous aspect to their game. Dylan Gabriel's a really good quarterback. 9 touchdowns to 1 interception this year. He's been very good. You compare that with the 5 touchdowns and 8 interceptions for Aiden Chiles. Clearly, Chiles has to take care of the football for Michigan State to have a chance. He's got to take care of the football. The offense has to continue. It's improving week to week. They're getting healthier. Should have a full contingent of wide receivers this week, which is going to help. The offensive line has to be better. Hopefully they can run the ball a little bit and keep things honest. I like Michigan State's defense. I think they're an above-average defense. But you're playing on the road. It's not easy to win at Autzen Stadium. It's going to be a raucous crowd there. Like I said, Dylan Gabriel's really, really good at what he does. But I don't think this is one of these Oregon juggernaut teams we've seen in the past. I think it's a good Oregon team, but this is not the team we saw last year. It's with Bo Nix. It's not the team we've seen in the past with Justin Herbert. I think it's a good Oregon team, not a great Oregon team. And Jonathan Smith coached Oregon State for a couple years, so he knows all about what it is to play Oregon. And you know, having been a quarterback at Oregon State back when he used to play, he knows all about that rivalry. So I think he's got a little bit of an advantage in this game because of that experience. So I don't think Michigan State wins, but I think that they would be able to keep it closer than what that spread is at 23.5.
So look, I mean, don't sleep on Tez Johnson, their wide receiver. He's really, really productive.
He's good.
They do have an explosive guy on the outside. Maybe not as good as his kid last week, but he is pretty explosive. And I was wondering.
But he's less than 10 yards of reception.
Yeah, and I think he's got 5 straight games with 11 catches, which is incredible. And then there's the, you know, Dan Lanning's been out there a couple of years, so he knows Jonathan Smith. Jonathan Smith knows him. So that kind of goes both ways. That is a loud stadium, man. And the weird thing about Aiden Chiles, and you see this with teams, is if you correct that one big thing, and it's huge, which is, you remember the saying when we used to say, I'm always open?
Yeah.
When I was working sidelines.
Sidelines are always
open. Michigan was having problems with interceptions, and I was like, hey, I am always open. I think it was Devin Gardner. Just hit me with the pass, because you're throwing the ball into, I might have been Devin. I don't remember who it was, but I'm maybe John O'Korn. Just throw it to me, okay? Live to play another down. And with a young quarterback, at some point that light goes on, one would think. If they're coachable and they can reach their potential, they stop throwing it to the other guys. Now, last week, the one interception, I think, was out of desperation. They'd gotten behind a little bit. But, you know, it's a huge thing. These are catastrophic mistakes, but I just feel like easily correctable.
Well,
it's clearly easier said than done.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you're a young quarterback and you're trying to move the offense down the field, and this is clearly a different and much better offense that Michigan State has this year than what they did last year. I mean, they're taking chances. I love that they take chances. They have receivers and they're making plays for them. And then the quarterback will shoot themselves in the foot, and it stops everything. If he can limit that or eliminate it for a game you don't turn the ball over? I don't think it's too much to ask for a single game. Just don't do it. But you have to couple that with, hey, no pre-snap penalties. Mm-hmm. So don't no illegal formations, no offsides, no false starts. Eliminate that. And then if you could eliminate the post-whistle penalties, no late hits out of bounds, no roughing calls on the quarterback. If you can eliminate that dumb stuff, mm-hmm. I can live with a holding penalty. I can live with a pass interference penalty. But the other stuff is correctable. And it's mental. If you can get rid of that stuff, get rid of the turnovers, Michigan State's got a great chance. But I don't know if they can put all that together.
All right, Michigan playing at Washington. And again, you talk about teams with correctable mistakes. Washington last week melted down on special teams. They missed three field goals. They blocked a field goal that could have been a scoop and score, but instead had some kid run onto the field and they got a flag for it. And Rutgers then kept the drive alive after the blocked field goal and got a touchdown out of it. And Washington's one of the worst teams in the country. 18 trips to the red zone, 9 touchdowns. Now, Jed Fish explained it away this week, their head coach of, hey, we've had some, you know, some, once we took a knee, another time a couple drives got ended, we didn't get any points because of long field goals because we got into the red zone and then took some penalties and ended up kicking longer field goals. Grady Gross was really good for them last year, kicking the football. He's got, I think he had 4 misses all of last year. He's got 4 already this year. Special teams are going to be a big part of this game. Michigan was feast or famine last week on special teams. They blocked the punt, which set up a touchdown, and they gave up a massive punt return, which also set up a Minnesota touchdown. And then they got Dominic Zavada, who is an absolute weapon at the kicker spot. And but I think special teams is going to be a big part of it. The other thing is, I believe Washington is one of the few teams in the country that's been penalized more than Michigan State. And so you're talking about, yeah, exactly. Again, that you know, if I'm covering Washington, and you're talking about Michigan State, these are self-inflicted wounds that are incredibly costly. But as far as total yardage, they're like one of those teams that's top 20 in the run, top 20 in the pass. They've moved the football very well with Giles Jackson, of course, a transfer from Michigan. They're a talented offensive team. Defensively, you might be able to run on them. And Michigan might want to try and run the football. Just saying. That might be part of their game plan.
Well, and if you're Washington, you talk about how evenly balanced they are with running the ball and passing the ball, and they are. And you know, Will Rogers is a good quarterback, you know, transfer quarterback. Coleman, the running back, has done an outstanding job this year. You know, over 7 yards a carry.
Did you see the story on him on the journey?
I did not.
When he was a kid growing up in Stockton, California, his dad was in a gang, and his dad got shot multiple times. And he said, I got to get my kid out of here. I got to give my kid a better life. He's an easy kid to root for.
Well, if you're profiled on the journey, yeah. My guess is you're going to tug at the heartstrings of everybody. Everyone's going to root for you.
Yep.
But this is a guy who ran for nearly 7 yards a carry last year. And this year he's upped his game to over 7 yards a carry.
Transfer from Arizona.
He's very good. And, you know, it's a rematch from the national championship. Mm-hmm. But neither team resembles anything of what you saw last year in the national championship.
It is like literally the biggest non-factor ever that these two teams played, you know, 270 days ago or whatever it is. And they are completely different teams, different coaching staffs. Both teams got gutted offensively. Michigan didn't load up on the transfer portal. Washington did. And I mean, they brought in Jed Fish and he brought some guys with him from Arizona. But I feel like the fact that they played last year has almost zero to do with this year's game.
Which is amazing when you think of that. But look, Jed Fish is a really good football coach. He turned things around at Arizona, a place where nobody thought you could, and he made that actually reputable. And he's got some players here. And with Will Rogers, he's guy who slings it all over the place. I feel like it's just a matter of time before Washington starts to hit their stride and becomes this team, and they've got some weapons there. I mean, losing to Rutgers isn't good. They haven't scored a ton of points this year, despite having all this. Right. And so, can they finish now? You know, I mean, Michigan's got, on paper, should have been a great defense, and yet as things have unfolded, it hasn't been as good as we thought it was going to be.
They've had great moments. Last week without Josiah Stewart and Will Johnson, I believe they will get him back. And the one thing that's happened is other defensive playmakers have emerged for them. Zeke Berry is making plays, getting turnovers. Jair Hill, the corner combination of Hill and Will is pretty damn good. And so they're going to be challenged this week for sure against Boston and Giles Jackson. Interesting game. I can see why Washington's favored, because in spite of the 3-2 record, their problems feel very fixable to me.
Well, I'm stunned that they're favored, and yet there they are by a point and a half in this game that opened up. They were a 2-point favorite. It hasn't really moved all that much on the line. An over-under of 41.5. Interesting total. But as you said, Washington can't finish, and Michigan's offense isn't exactly a juggernaut either. And what's Alex Orji going to do this week?
I feel like they have yet to really get him going in the run game, but we'll see. And we'll see if they can get anything. Like last week, I think they called 24, 26 pass plays, which was like their ratio last year. But that was one of those games against Minnesota where they're like trying to get stuff going and not doing everything they can to win the game. This is one of those games where they're doing everything they can to win the game, which might mean a USC game plan.
Well, or will we see something click in the passing game? Will they find, will the receivers finally do their part, get open, and Orji hits those receivers? Will it be more than just hitting the tight end?
Yeah.
Or something else.
Well, and the question is, Samaj Morgan didn't play last week. He could be back this week. Colston Loveland got banged up, but he met with the media. Usually if you parade a player out in front of the media, you're going to play.
Was he on a float?
What do you mean?
Wait, parade him out, I thought.
Right, sure.
Doug, did you catch Sharon Moore with the morning show?
I did not this week.
So he was talking about how they brought up to him like Ben Johnson's creativity on Monday night, and Sharon was like, you know, we take things from them, they take things from us. You know, it's a mutual respect, right? He loves what Ben Johnson does. My question to you is, do you expect, because the offense is, I mean, it's just basically run the ball. Maybe any more trick-type plays, trickeration, anything? Can Mullins throw? Can Orji catch? You know what I mean? Like, something to get the offense, you know, when you need a spark, a home run play,
you
other
know,
than just handing the ball off.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're looking for some. I know this. I talked to a coach once that told me kids love trick plays. They can't wait. They get all re-energized when you're going through running the normal offense in practice.
Yes.
And then you get in the huddle and they go, all right, we're going Alcatraz here. And everybody gets fired up. And so, you know, maybe that's something that they do and do early to try and get this team going. But offensively, should be an interesting one. We're on the air at 4:30 with the tailgate show on our brother station, AM 950, and then network wide at 6:30, kickoff at, I think it's 7:34.
Do you know if they have a play called the Washtenaw County Jail?
I do not.
Okay.
Instead of Alcatraz?
Right.
If they run a trick play, I'll find out the name and pass it along.
Good.
Yeah.
That's your job.